In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Today, in addition to the prayers of the Mass for the Feast of St. Francis Borgia, this great Jesuit, we also will be having prayers, as we have begun, for those in time of war. Those in times of war, specifically for those who are caught up in the chaos of said war. St. Francis Borgia is one of these great saint figures that we have to raise up that reminds us that there are things which are more important than maybe what we possess, things more important than what has led up to our life up to this point, and to reach for those things with reckless abandon. St. Francis Borgia was of a devout heritage of faith from his early days. His youngest desires were those nascent desires to go off and devote his life only to God. From a young age, he exclaimed to his parents that he desired to become a monk. But at 19 years old, he consented to his father's wish and took a wife. And taking that wife, he had quite a number of children. I believe it was 7+. And so that desire for the religious life at an early age was not answered, was not lived out, wasn't possessed. And so he lived out a good married life. He was of great nobility. In fact, he was a duke. And a duke isn't something of low stature. That is actually a little king. Little king. He was in line in Emperor Charles V, where he certainly could have been named emperor himself, should he have desired to do so and made a play for worldly gain. But because of his great stature, he was sent to live off in the king's court, the emperor's court. And spending time there in Spain, he fell in love with a beautiful princess who became the beautiful queen. Not in the love that leads one to leave one's own marital vows, but such great admiration, particularly for that of physical beauty. He admired it. In fact, he so admired beauty that he was even given great musical talent, such that even before Palestrina became the great writer of polyphonic music, St. Francis Borgia, during that time in his life, wrote beautiful polyphonic pieces to be sung during the sacred liturgy. He was entranced with the beauty of Queen Isabella of Spain. She was renowned all over for her great beauty, and was because of her beauty and her desirability that she was able to make a good match with King Ferdinand of Aragon. And the two of them wedding together united Spain in a deeper sense, ultimately to bring about the completion of the Reconquista, that is, the reuniting of the Spanish and Christian forces to drive the Moors into the sea and bring all of the Iberian Peninsula under the power of the cross of Christ, our blessed Lord Jesus. Through this, gazing upon her beauty, he was given the great privilege of, at her death, accompanying her body down to finally where it would be laid to rest. And in this 3-day journey, he saw it as his greatest privilege to be escorting he who he thought the very epitome of earthly lived out beauty down to the place where she would finally receive such a blessed burial. And as is the custom, when it is time to place the body into the crypt, it has to be opened so that the person may indeed be identified as the one who was there, and that was his privilege. And so opening up the casket to identify the person, he was horrified, because what lay before him? Not the beautiful queen that he knew. Not the object of his affections, not he who he thought there was no more beautiful creature under heaven than she, but rather he saw the already decaying corpse of his queen, a mangled mess. He smelled the decay of death, not the sweet perfumes that he always beheld within her presence. And so, totally aghast and crestfallen, totally shattered his worldview was from that moment, he began to ponder on things not terrestrial, but things celestial. Thinking about only that which lasts, because certainly this beauty, which he thought the highest that could be given here on earth, did not last. And so upon that long journey home, those 3 days back, he pondered what life really meant. Certainly it must have reminded him of the days of his youth, when he desired to do nothing but to serve the King Creator of the universe in the most perfect way possible as a monk, as one totally devoted to him, as a religious under vows. It was not long after that his wife passed away. And so, being freed from that bond which was there and making sure that there was provision for his children, renouncing in entirety all his claims to any dukedom, to any which he entrusted to his firstborn son, or any inheritance toward the crown that he could later have, he sought to join the Society of Jesus, and later on was chosen to become a superior general within this young fledgling order. Something you may know about the Borgia family is that they're not good examples of what it means to be Catholic on the whole, are they? In fact, history is replete, and our modern age, as corrupt as it is, seeks to emphasize those things of great corruption. And within the line of the Borgias, there was no lack of finding such things in that time nor in our time. These bad examples of what it means to be a priest, means to be a Catholic, even ascended to the highest throne within the church, to be the vicar of Christ. And it was through their terrible example that, of not only taking that throne, but also refusing to spurn carnal vice, fathering many children and placing those illegitimate children brazenly in princedoms within the church as cardinals. And so within this line of Francis Borgia, he could have said, as many do today, the reason why I can't attain to holiness, the reason why I can't do something good, is because I have a bad family, because I have bad examples, because there are so many in my line, and I share their same DNA, I have their same blood, it runs and courses through my veins. We have so many who say, I can't do good things because there is a generational curse, or there is a spirit that exists throughout my family, and so I just have to fall into these vices. Not so with Francis Borgia. He fought against all those things, and fought against them, and refused by a great act of his will, and by saying yes to grace, and was able to free himself from all those things, not only when he attained to the highest post within the Jesuit order, when he became a papal legate to go off and broker peace among nations, when he, at the end of his life, was called even to unite all the Christian forces in the Holy League, when he was over the age of 60 and very wearied with a tiresome life of serving God in great fasting and penance. Even while he was doing that, uniting Spain and Portugal into the Holy League to prepare for the Battle of Lepanto, even in spite of all those great honors, he was the first one to be found doing the most menial tasks within the monastery. He was the one who quickly went there to sweep the floors, to be found washing the dishes, to be there making the distribution of goods to those who were poor and begging, to make sure that he was the one taking on the smallest and lowest tasks, because he knew that the things that seemed of dignities within this world easily could come to decay and very quickly passed into destruction. You and I can learn something from the life of this great saint as well, to spurn the honors of this world, to seek to take on those menial tasks, to, when we see a difficulty that is visited upon, whether it's here within the church or within the home or even within society at large, to rather than say it should be somebody else who should do that, somebody of lower place than I, to go ahead and do the thing and to assume that lowly state for ourselves as well. To see, as St. Francis Borgia, not to let one's status in life or one's family history or the difficulties which have gone before within one's life hold one back from achieving the greatness which God has called each of us in holiness. For there is nothing which is the limit of what God is able to do within your life, except for, as Blessed Don Delindo of happy memory reminds you and I in the words of Christ spoken to him, the degree to which God can work miracles in your life and through you in your life is actually your degree of surrender. It has nothing to do with what talents or skills you have acquired within this life. For all graces and all free gift comes from God the Father. As asked for the intercession of St. Francis Borgia to assume those lowly places and as well to rise above our state in life and even beyond our family heritage and the difficulties which have come before us, to do whatever it is the task that God has given us, not by our strength or power, but by Christ who gives us strength, for whom all things are possible. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.